Inspired Souls is celebrating our three-year anniversary this month. We just wanted to take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for giving us a reason to continue this labor of love of ours. Whether you've been listening since day one or joining us for the first time with this episode, we are so grateful you have chosen to spend a few minutes of your day with us. You are the reason we continue to produce new episodes each week. We also want to thank the many inspiring guests who have come on our show and shared their stories. Many of our guests have never even been on a podcast before, and we thank you for being so brave. Over the past 3 years, we have connected with the running community in ways we never thought imaginable, and our lives are so much richer for it. If you want to continue to support us, the best thing you can do is share your favorite episode with a friend. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and send us guest recommendations. Tell us who you want us to talk to or what topics you want us to talk about. You can message us on Instagram or email us at inspiredsoulscast@gmail.com. We are looking forward to another great season of guests and great conversation.
I don't want to just like jump back in and end up injured again in a couple months from now. So I'm almost just like trying to practice what I preach, like just follow your plan, your physio, your coach. They know what they're doing. You need to trust them.
That was Leanne Clausen, and this is episode 155 of the Inspired Souls podcast. Hi, I'm Carolyn, and I'm a road runner.
And I'm Kim, and I'm a trail runner. Welcome to our podcast, where we bring the communities of trail and road running together and explore the parallels between running and life.
If you've been running for any length of time, I'm going to guess that you've dealt with an injury or two along the way. And if so, then you're going to love what today's guest has to share. Leanne Clausen is a 36-year-old runner from Calgary, Alberta, a coach with Skyline Run Coaching, and a 242 marathoner. Yet at the time of this recording, she was walk running her way back to health from tendinosis of her quadriceps and patellar tendons. This is an important reminder that even those with high levels of knowledge and an excellent support team can still wind up on the sidelines from time to time. But there is hope. In this episode, Leanne shares how she's navigated this particular injury. We talked about the lever running device, which attaches to her home treadmill and can offload up to 45 pounds of body weight. We talked about the role that cross training can play, trusting her coach, Melindy Elmore, and physiotherapist, and actually doing what they recommend, and leaning on her incredible support team more than ever before. We talked about being a role model for her own clients, exercising patience, and respecting the rehab process to ensure that she has the longest career possible in the sport that she loves so much. Leanne comes from a team sport background and quickly found success in running after taking it up in 2016. Competitive by nature and someone to never shy away from a good challenge, Leanne qualified for Boston on her very first try and found herself on elite start lines shortly thereafter. Leanne is wise, fierce, and incredibly humble. So hopefully you enjoyed this conversation as much as we enjoyed recording it. Welcome to the show, Leanne, and thanks so much for making time to sit down with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Likewise. Yes, you were recently in Winnipeg visiting family, and that's where we got to go on a couple of lovely runs together, or maybe I should say run walks together, because that is what you were doing because you are currently coming back from an injury. And we're going to talk all about that tonight. But you are not from Winnipeg. You are from Calgary. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you do.
Yeah, I'm actually from Cranbrook, BC, but I've been in Calgary for 18 years now. So I do call Calgary home, but my husband is actually from Winnipeg. So that's what brought me out there. So yeah, I'm located in Calgary. I have two daughters. I left my job as a project controller a year and a half ago and to be a full-time run coach and just spend more time with my daughters. They're at the age where they're super busy. So I get
How
to
old
play
are they?
Chauffeur. They are 7 and 9. So grades 2 and 4.
Such fun ages. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Super fun ages, but also super busy. They're getting into their own activities and yeah, just super busy. So it's nice to have a lot more flexibility and get to spend more time with them. Pretty soon they're not going to want to hang out with me. So,
Yep. My youngest is about to turn 14 and they definitely get to an age where you're not as cool as when they were 7.
Yeah, exactly.
So enjoy that time. Yeah. Okay. And you said you left your job as a controller?
a project controller. So it's a form of accounting. My background is in accounting, yes.
Okay, and what do you do now?
I'm a full-time run coach. I coach with Skyline Run Coaching here in Calgary. I just do that full-time and get to spend more time with my family and focus on my own running and
Exactly. And now, if I am not mistaken, you haven't been running all that long. It was somewhere around 2016 when you took it up, but you did a lot of team sports growing up and even played basketball in college. So tell us about how running came into your life in 2016.
Yes, I played basketball in college, and I've always been part of team sports, soccer, basketball, volleyball. I think that's kind of what drew me into coaching. I was looking for a team, and running is a very individual sport, but finding a team to train with and just run with was, I think, what I was looking for. That's kind of how I got into coaching. But running, after I had my second daughter, I was just looking for a way to stay active and get outside, and it was easy. I ran all the time with the stroller, and so that was a way I could get out by myself, but also with my kids. So just like exploring the trails in Calgary, and absolutely fell in love with running.
How did you fall in love with it? Like, what made you love it? Were you really good at it right off the bat, or was it something more about like having that time to, you know, push the jogging stroller and spend time with your family and being outside? Like, what was it that you loved?
Yeah, I think it was just like the flexibility. I could do it with my kids. I could do it with other people. I could do it on my own. And there's so many beautiful places to run in Calgary. The pathways are super accessible. I was living in sort of inner city Calgary at the time. So lots of places to explore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends at the time were runners. So they kind of got me into it.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you might have gotten into it with kids in a stroller, but you took off pretty fast and have had quite a few significant running accomplishments. Tell us about some of your most meaningful accomplishments and why they stand out to you.
Yeah, I think my favorite distance is the marathon, and I joined Calgary was turning 150, and so the Calgary Marathon had a 150K relay, and so I joined as a team, and there was a 30K leg, and I was turning 30 that year, so I thought it would be pretty cool to run the 30K leg of this relay, and the Calgary Marathon is in May, and so I ran the 30K of that leg, and then one of my friends mentioned, I bet you could qualify for Boston on your first marathon. And I love a good challenge. I'm a competitive person when it comes to like board games and stuff like that. And obviously sports. I've always played team sports. So it's, I feel like it's not as bad. You always want your team to win. But when it comes to running, I just look for little things like that, like always pushing myself to get better and little challenges like that. So when my friend mentioned that, I was like, oh, that actually is really intriguing. So I looked into what the time would be, and the cutoff is like middle of September. So one of the last, and because I had ran this 30K, I just wanted to build off that training. And by training, I mean like I was running a couple times a week just with friends. I didn't really train. I think the longest I had run before that 30K was like maybe a half marathon another time before that or something. I was not being coached. And so I found Edmonton Marathon. Edmonton Marathon is like one of the last qualifying races before the cutoff for Boston. And I ended up qualifying. And I said to my husband, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I have to run Boston. It's like, so I did. I ran it in 2018 when it was like the worst conditions in Boston Marathon history. It was like that torrential downpour. And, so I loved it. It was awesome. Like it was the Boston Marathon, but unfortunately, because it was raining so hard, you had to run with like your head down the whole time. So I didn't really get to take everything in. So even though it's like something super happy that I did and got to experience, and I ended up running a 5-minute PB in those conditions, so I was still like super proud. Yeah, and so I think that's kind of what got me hooked, is I love like a good challenge and like running in those conditions. I'm contemplating trying my hand at cross country, just because I'm like, I love
a
good challenge like that. Like, I love to have to like dig deep, and I like maybe when it doesn't always come easy. So yeah, running a personal best in Boston was, in those conditions, was pretty cool. And then I was just like hooked on the marathon ever since. And like I said, I like a challenge. Like after that, it just kind of, every marathon that I ran, I kind of went in with like a time that I knew I was capable of running, and I would run and finish feeling pretty good. So then I would do another one and again, finish feeling, going in with a time that I knew I was capable of hitting, finish feeling pretty good. So then I would register for another one. In the first year, I think I ran 5 marathons in a year, which is not recommended. I do not recommend, but I wasn't really pushing my limits. So I was able to recover quite quickly. So, but once I actually got a coach and did like some proper training, challenged myself a little bit more, I ran a sub-2:45 at the California International Marathon in 2019. And that was the first time that I competed as an elite in an international field. So that was really cool. I felt kind of like an imposter. I had like my hotel covered and everything. And I was just like, I don't really feel like I should be here. And the girl that I was rooming with at the time, she would be like getting all of her stuff ready, and I'm like just like sitting on the bed watching, seeing what she's doing, and I'm like getting my bottles ready, and she's like, do not put anything in your bottles. And I was like, I don't know, am I supposed to put something in my bottles? And so I learned so much from her. She was super, super sweet and kind of took me under her wing. Wow. And so yeah, that was a pretty cool experience. And yeah, I had a big personal best there, and that just, I feel like that's, the marathon's just kind of been keeping me coming back for more, because I feel like there's just so much unfinished business with the marathon. It's a way I can just continue to challenge myself.
But you're blowing my mind right now. You took up running in 2016. You went all in on the marathon, qualified for Boston on your first time at the marathon, ran the 2018 Boston Marathon in the rain, PB'd, and then a year later qualified as an elite at CIM. Am I tracking this properly? Like, who has a trajectory like this?
Yes, I feel like I did obviously have a little bit of natural talent, but once I had a coach and could like kind of rein it all in and train properly and even just learn to test my limits in terms of like pacing and that sort of thing. Like before I said, I kind of just went in with like a time that I knew I was capable of running and kind of stuck to it and finished feeling really, really good. So just learning to like test my limits and sort of get uncomfortable.
So, you know, you ran sub-2:45 in 2019, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
And then I'm looking here at some of Carolyn's notes, and you set your most recent marathon PB in Toronto in last year, in 2022, of 2:42:53. So you obviously hadn't found your limits yet in 2019. I guess my question to you is, did you feel great? And was that easy in Toronto? Like, do you have another PB in you, or do you feel like you're finally starting to brush against the hardness of it all?
Well, it's funny that you ask about Toronto specifically. I did run a PB, but I was actually coming back from an injury. And I feel like when I come back from an injury, I'm just like, so as I'm sure a lot of people are, so much more motivated. And I was just so, so happy and excited to be on that start line that I absolutely did push my limits on that day. But that was the first time I have ever ran a marathon and not thought like, what am I doing? I don't want to be here. Like, I never once thought about quitting, and not saying that I feel like at some point in a marathon, you're always like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? This is so hard. I don't want to be here. But I didn't ever hit a wall in that race. I definitely ran, like hit my limit for that day. But I definitely think there's more, still more left. I just was so, which is what kind of makes me excited about this comeback. I mean, I'm definitely not excited about my current injury, but I do know that I come back just like more motivated than ever, just excited to run and excited to train again. Like, I just love that feeling of like in big training sessions when it just like takes everything you've got. And so yeah, I am looking forward to to testing my limits again. But I've also like dabbled in some shorter distances coming back from injury, which I'm also excited about. I never really thought I would be like a 10K runner. And I finally broke 35 minutes in the 10K back in April of this year, which I never, ever thought would be possible for me. And but again, coming off of a little bit of a injury after Houston in January, not even so much an injury, just like a little bit of a recovery period. My body just needed a little bit more after running back-to-back marathons. So I decided to try the 10K out, just like some a little bit less mileage and breaking 35. So now I'm like motivated to see what I could do maybe in the 10K. And especially coming back from injury now, it'll be nice to just like run a little bit less volume and maybe try out some of those shorter distances again.
Okay. I definitely want to put a pin in that and circle back around to the shorter distances and what value you think that they have in your marathons. But if I'm tracking correctly on your injuries, you talked about last year in Toronto, you had a shorter buildup because you were coming back from injury. And then Houston this year in 2023, you had an injury after that. And now...
Sorry, no. So after Houston, I know I was thinking back about that. I got that kind of reverse. I just took a little break after Houston, which was like a little bit longer than I wanted, just because I had done back-to-back marathons in October and then in January. And then this past summer when training for Toronto, I started, I had really, really low iron in June, right around Manitoba Marathon time of 2022. I realized that after I ran Manitoba, actually, I found out that I had really low iron. So I just had to take a step back from like workouts. It took me like a good 6 weeks to get my iron levels back up. So I was late starting my build for Toronto. And then I got sick right before Toronto.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And then right now, so you, again, we mentioned that you come to Winnipeg sometimes to see family, but you were here in June around Father's Day for the Manitoba Half Marathon, which served as the Canadian Half Marathon Championships. So you raced that and you raced phenomenally. Like that was, we had some of the fastest runners from across Canada here that day, and you came fourth in an absolute blazing time of 1:17.06 for fourth place. But that's why I was surprised to learn that you were injured, because that was only 2 months ago. And so then when, you know, I found out a few weeks ago that you were coming off an injury, I was like, wait, but you just raced that race. So again, lots of injuries. It sounds like you've had over the course of your short career. And that's kind of what we want to talk about now. So set the stage for us. What sort of injuries have you dealt with? Like, what are you currently dealing with? Let's start with that one. And then we'll dive into some of your other ones.
Okay. Thank you very much, by the way. Yes, Manitoba was a lot of fun this year. I've been running for a short period of time. And I hate to say like, I've had all these injuries, but I do feel like one of them was from just like my slower build to get a coach and my lack of coaching, I should say. But currently right now, I am dealing with tendinosis of my patella and quadricep tendons. And yes, I was dealing with it before going into Manitoba. We didn't know the full extent of it, but I was feeling well enough to run Manitoba. And we had agreed that right after Manitoba, I would take some time off to let it fully heal, and got some imaging done. And that's when we noticed that it was tendinosis. And I have a really great coach, Melindy. She right away was like she's had a lot of experience with this current injury, maybe not of the patella, but so super knowledgeable. I have an amazing physio, same thing. They've been really good. This type of injury, as you ladies I'm sure know, isn't just an injury that you can just do nothing, right? It's not a matter of just like taking time off. You have to load the tendon and do it safely. And it's one of those things that it doesn't hurt while I'm running. So it's not like it just stop if you're feeling any pain. I have to stick to the prescribed distance or time for that day and then see how it feels that day. And it's often the following day that I'll notice. So I've been super, super diligent with this return to run, just because I do want to come back stronger. And it's not something that I notice in the moment. So I have to be really careful with not pushing the limits, because it's not until the following day that I realize that it's not feeling great, or that I've maybe done a little bit too much.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when that's the case, when, oh, I feel really good when I'm running, it's just after, you don't always connect. Like, of course, if you feel good running, why wouldn't running be something that's fine to do? But with this particular injury, that's part of it, right? And so, and you're very right in that it's that loading, like that progressive loading of it. So I think the day before we ran, or 2 days before we ran, you were 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 1 minute on. So we're talking a 2:43 marathoner here, just like back to square one, right? But yes, so grateful to be doing it, because it's better than 0 minutes on, right?
Yes, exactly. So, exactly. Yeah, I think when we met up, it was 3 minutes on, 1 minute off.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think the first time we met up, it was 2 minutes on, 1 minute off, which is the only way that I could actually go for a run with you and keep up, is that every, you know, third minute we get a walk break. But then the second time we went running, I think it was 3 minutes on, 1 minute off. But what I was so impressed by was that you stuck to it. Talk to us about, like, is that hard for you? Do you feel like defeated by the kind of run walk thing, or do you respect the rehab process, because you know that, you know, if you just go straight to running, you might be, you know, taking another couple weeks, 3 weeks off?
Like, yes, absolutely. No, I definitely respect the process, especially because I've done the 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 2 minutes on, 1 minute off, 3 minutes on, 1 minute off, and then it flared up after that 3 minutes. So I do know that it's a very fine line. So I definitely respect the process, and I'm so grateful. I have so many friends, including you, Carolyn, who have offered to join me on the run walks and will walk with me. And so I haven't really been pressured to, like, maybe push the limits a little bit, because I have such a great support system, even here in Calgary, friends that have reached out as soon as it happened, that offered to go for a road ride with me on a bike, or hop on the treadmill next, or the elliptical next to me at the gym. And so I've had a lot of people wanting to support me with just like whatever it is that I'm doing at the time. So I haven't really been pressured to push that. Now that I'm here in Calgary, I have the lever system that just kind of like attaches to your treadmill. And you
like
can
an
run.
Alter G kind of?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm. So you can reduce up to 45 pounds of your body weight. So I have one of those that I've been using now that I'm back at home, and I don't actually have any pain when running on that. And I've only been taking off about 15 pounds. So that's been exciting. Wow, I've gotten up to 10 minutes right now. So
of straight running.
Of straight running. Yes. Okay. Yes. But I've done that for about a week now. And I was telling my physio last week that I'm nervous now to, because it's kind of been like a little bit of a crutch, because it doesn't hurt at all. So now I have to start reducing some of, or adding back some of my body weight, I should say. And I'm just a little nervous, but I think it's a really good way. And I know I'm grateful and lucky to have that system. So
you have that in your home, or do you have to go to your physio office for that?
No, I have it at my house. Yeah, you can buy it and it just attaches to your treadmill. Yeah, it's actually pretty affordable for that type of system.
It is interesting, because typically, at least in my experience, you know, some of those offloading treadmills are very expensive. You know, the Alter G is tens of thousands of dollars. So can you just, I'm curious, describe this a little bit more? Like the Alter G, you wear like this neoprene almost bodysuit and it air inflates in like a kayak skirt around you. So you're not hanging from like a suspension system. How does it work to offload you in your home unit?
Yeah, it, so I actually lent it to a friend who was also struggling with an injury, and she didn't find it as comfortable to run in. So I think it's a personal preference for sure. It's just a pair of spandex shorts, and it has like a little lever on the side, and then a bungee cord. You have two, they strap to the front of the machine, and then the bungee cord goes through your shorts and then through the back of the machine, and then back through your shorts and through the front of the machine. So it just lifts you, I guess, by a bungee cord. and you're wearing spandex shorts that have a connection to it. So like I said, you can only reduce up to 45. I'm sure those heavy duty machines, you could probably do a lot more, but still, I like I said, I'm only using like, I think 15 to 20 pound reduction right now. And it's a huge difference. Like when you're running on it for 45 minutes and then you unload yourself and you're like, oh, I'm all of a sudden really, really heavy.
That's really cool. So does it work with like the bungees, the different strength of bungees to the amount of offloading?
You just pull, depending how many, it's got like little notches on the bungee cord. So each notch is, I think, 5 pounds.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That very is cool. Really cool and very good to know that it's mm-hmm. it's a system that is affordable, that it is an option for the everyday person if you have a I don't want to say more minor injury, but one that could just do with taking off 45 pounds or less.
For sure. And it easily goes on and off, attaches to your treadmill. It just like straps onto your treadmill. So if someone else is using your treadmill that doesn't want to, if you share with someone else in your household, they don't have to have it. You can still run in the middle of it without it really bothering you, but you can actually remove it quite easily as well.
Now, what's it called? I missed the name of this thing.
It's called the Lever.
Lever. The Lever. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's great. Cool. They also, people will also use it as like a form of, you can train a little bit faster in it, mm-hmm. or just like offload a little bit of weight in like a big marathon build, maybe one or two runs a week or a double run, just do it a little bit lighter, just a little bit easier on your body.
In a way, kind of the way that somebody might use aerobic cross training, like a lower impact form of cross training is kind of that same idea, I guess. Okay, very cool. Now, you mentioned that I'm a bit nervous. I've been doing this for a week and now I have to offload some weight. What is making you nervous that when you go to taking off only 10 pounds that, you know, you're going to have some symptoms the following day or during the run? Like what's behind the nerves, I guess?
I think just I only got up to 3 minutes on, 1 minute off when I was running outside that, and then it flared up. And right now I'm having no pain. So it's just been like so nice to be able to run without like kind of knowing that I was going to be okay the next day because I've done it a couple days before and I'm still doing it every other day. But I think it's just like, I feel like things are really good right now and I would hate for them to flare up again.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
And have like a quote unquote setback.
Right. Right. And so it's interesting that you had the 3 minutes on, 1 minute off, and you had a flare up. They didn't just put you back to 2 minutes on, 1 minute off. They went to taking some body weight off. Is that, or was that just because you had that available to you? You're back in your home.
Yes, I was actually in Manitoba when I had the flare up. So we did. We actually took a couple extra days off and then I was home. So then I was the one that brought it up. And I personally think it's a nice option to have to be able to sort of ease back into it by like reducing some weight. And I was the one. And then when I got to do the Lever, we got to do it a little bit longer. I remember my physio texting me saying, you can do 5 and 1. And I texted him, was that a typo? Like, can I do 5 and 1? He's like, you're reducing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're reducing your body weight. So we can go a little bit longer. And again, I had no pain. So, but I got really, really excited to see that 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in some ways, I guess that progress is sort of addicting in and of itself, right? Like I'm Absolutely. Getting better, I'm going longer, the body's healing, yay, exciting. Like what race can I do next, right? It's kind of that same maybe high that you got when you took up running in the first place of like, wow, I'm good at this and let's do it again and wow, better. You know, so coming back from injury can have its upsides if you look at it like that. And again, approaching it with, oh, I'm just so glad to be out here and grateful to be doing this, right? Which it sounds
Absolutely.
Like. Everything that you do is sort of couched in that. And so I guess on that note, what have you learned through this injury the most? Like what lessons do you think are coming up for you to learn in this injury? And then maybe we can talk about some of your other ones after that.
For sure. Well, I've done a lot more cross training this time in terms of like I've gotten out on a road bike and being injured in like the prime outdoor running months living in Canada, I've really tried to embrace other outdoor activities. When I've been injured in the past, I've just that I used to teach spin classes. So I always seem to fall back on that. I was going to spin classes and then I'm like, wait a minute, I could get outside. And I have a road bike that's decent enough to do some road rides. And I have some friends here in Calgary that do road bikes. So they've taken me out to some areas around Calgary and we've done like some pretty significant road bike rides. And it's been really nice to be able to get out and challenge myself on the bike outdoors, still enjoy the outdoor weather. I live in a lake community in Calgary. So I also have a friend who swims and she's like, the idea of going to a pool to swim laps, just even water run. I have like a running belt that I've taken to the lake and my kids can jump on the dock and I'm out there water running beside the dock for a half an hour. The other parents are probably like, what is she doing, floating in the water next to them for an extended period of time. So trying to find things that I can still like enjoy the outdoors. So I think that's probably what I miss the most is running in these nice months. But I think I've learned that I still want to incorporate a lot more cross training into my training going forward, even when I am back running. I know there's people out there that's actually one thing that my coach mentioned is when I first got injured, she's like, don't panic. You can actually get super fit cross training. Like you're not going to lose. And I tell my athletes this all the time, like you're not going to lose your fitness. Like it's there. It's not going anywhere. It might take some time to get it back, but it's definitely still there. You don't lose everything you've built. So
I think that's very, very true and wise. And you're talking a lot about your support team. You're just kind of threw in, oh, my coach, Melindy. Yeah, like Olympian, former Canadian record holder in the marathon, Melindy Elmore, right, is your coach. And then you've talked a bit about your physiotherapist and your athletes and friends and community that will run with you and run walk with you as needed. So how important is that support team, not just when you're healthy, but when you're struggling with injuries?
Yeah, absolutely. That's super important, even just like having experienced themselves in that area, knowing like they've come back even stronger. Melindy connected me with other athletes of hers that have also been, they're in the same situation. And then Tyson, my physio, he's just awesome. And he's super transparent and honest. And when I say like, what are the chances I'll be running next week? He's like, well, probably not. Or I would rather just be like straight up versus like, well, maybe. And then you're like holding on to it. Yeah. But they've just been everything for me right now. Like I mentioned, friends that have offered to hop on the elliptical next to me. But also, like, I know that I want to be running for the rest of my life. So to get back right now isn't as important as being healthy and strong to run for many, many, many more years. So I think that's kind of what is holding me back from just like jumping on the treadmill and running for a half an hour straight. Like, I'm just trying to be really, really smart about this.
Well, I imagine you've probably, do you look at your coaching maybe slightly differently now that you've had an experience with running injury? Is there anything that you've learned patience, you've learned longevity, or at least you've prioritized it, if you didn't necessarily learn it this time? Are there any takeaways that you would now apply to your coaching and your athletes?
Well, I think I've always said, like, don't worry, you don't lose your fitness, like I mentioned. But I think for the most part right now, I'm wanting to show them kind of like practice what you preach, right? Like, I don't want to just like jump back in and end up injured again in a couple months from now. So I'm almost just like trying to practice what I preach, like just follow your plan, your physio, your coach, they know what they're doing. You need to trust them, right? If you don't, then maybe you should look for a second opinion, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of a like just the people listening to the people that I trust.
Yeah. What's that saying of what you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you say, or something like that. So like as a coach, you could be saying to your athletes, oh, be patient, run, walk and all this. But I think you actually doing that speaks volumes, way more volumes than just telling them. So I think, there's always a silver lining. It's never what you actually want to hear when you're going through challenging times, but they're watching, they're listening, they're following your lead. And I said this at the beginning, that really was what impressed me the most about running with you and seeing just how you had the timer going. And it was like, nope, walk. And even that second time when we were running with a bigger group, like some of us would keep running, right? And then you walked and then you caught back up to us. And it was just really awesome to see you practicing what you preach. So way to go.
Thank you.
I want to talk about coming back. So say you get yourself all the way healthy again and okay, you're looking at a race down the road. Do you or have you ever in past injuries come back to a race and needed to adjust your goals or your expectations when you're kind of like just newly back from an injury?
Yes. I think going into Toronto actually was a great example. I had really big expectations. Originally, I have this big goal for the marathon that I feel and I still know that I'm capable of. And I just like, we threw it out there. And but then with the low iron and getting sick, we sort of readjusted those expectations. It was almost like a fitness test. We were like, you know what, why don't we just see where we're at today? It was my first race back, my first marathon back after my iron stuff and sickness. So it was more of a, we just want to run happy and healthy. But going in with that, being okay with that goal. And if it wasn't a personal best, if it wasn't even close to a personal best, just being okay with whatever the time said and just being happy to be out there. And I think removing expectation like that and that weight, like I feel like I've actually ran my best when I don't really have a time goal and just kind of expectation goes out the window. That sort of additional pressure just like lightens you. And I just feel like those are the best races. That even going into the Sun Run this past year, it was horrible weather. It was raining. The 10K isn't really my distance. So kind of went in with like, you know what, the day is not even just like it being not a great weather day. Just I kind of removed expectation and went in feeling a little bit lighter and I ended up running a personal best. So I feel like when we can somehow remove those additional expectations that we put on ourselves, we just like run lighter and happier and sometimes faster.
Yeah, that is such a good point. I never really thought about it. Like we're talking about it in the context of injury. So, okay, those expectations have to change or be adjusted because of injury. But you're right. It's the same thing with the weather. Crappy day, hot day. Like in 2022, you were also in Winnipeg for half marathon championships. And I mean, the marathon ended up getting canceled. It was so hot. It was like 45 degrees, but you were running the half and you were able to finish. But talk about going in with no, like you can't stick to your time goal when it's that hot. So yeah, like you probably had to do that little mental trick for that race as well. So it sounds like you're getting a lot of practice at it.
Yes, Manitoba gives us lots of practice with the heat. Coming from Calgary where it's very dry, that humidity just, I got to spend more time in Manitoba, I think, to work on my humidity training because, yeah, I definitely have to take that into consideration for sure. But I remember going into Manitoba 2022, adjusting because we kind of knew that it was going to be quite warm. So we had adjusted our goals going in. And then even the day before, we adjusted even more. Like, you know what? I think we start out even slower. First it was like, it went from like 10 seconds to like almost 20 seconds per kilometer slower. Yep. And it just like blew my mind. I was like 20 seconds per kilometer. And I am so grateful that I did because it made a huge difference. Had I gone out at my original goal pace, it would not have been pretty.
Yeah. And I think many people ended up in that boat but it's so humbling and you think there's no way it can slow me down by that much, but it does. Like it just does. Yeah. Absolutely. So, okay, well, we're talking about Manitoba and now this has nothing to do with your injuries, but I have to ask you because I was out there watching this year in 2023, the half marathon championships, the one where you came fourth place. Walk us through that race because I told you I wanted to ask you about this the day we went running together and we had so many other things to talk about that day. But that race, I think you were in sixth place for the longest time and then you just like hunted people down. Like talk us through the end of that and how you ended up in fourth place that day.
Yeah, that was actually a really fun race. It ended up being humid, but not as bad as the year before. But it was a super fun race to finish. I'm that person that likes to pick people off, like you're kind of saying, pick people off as I go, like, oh, there's someone in front of me. And like, I use that to distract me for a little bit. Like, let's see how close I can get to them. And yeah, I had two people sort of in my sights for a very, very long time. The humidity, I didn't really realize it until the morning of. I went for my little shakeout and I think I was out there for like 15 minutes and I came back and I was sweating. I was like, I didn't realize it was so warm, because watching the forecast, I think it was forecasting maybe like 17 or 20 degrees, which we were like, this is going to feel great compared to last year. But then when I came back, one of the volunteers said, oh yeah, it's 95% humidity. Super humid, which again, I'm not used to. So we start out, but I hadn't really talked to Melinda about the humidity. So anyways, I started out kind of as planned, realized that the humidity was going to affect me a little bit. So I did dial it back, but there were two runners in front of me that I still did keep in my sights, just because I am a little bit more motivated by seeing someone. But yeah, in those final 5 kilometers, I felt really good still. And so I just started to pick it up, and having them actually really helped, because I passed one of them around the 3K mark and I tried to get her to come with me, but it was a really tough day. And then I saw Dana right at the very end, and in Manitoba, you go like down the chute into the stadium. And so you kind of get like a little boost because you run down that hill right into the stadium. So I think I was running like as fast as my body, as fast as my legs would go at that moment. I was telling my husband afterwards, I was either going to take Dana out at the finish line or like fall before then. I wasn't sure my legs were going to continue to, I felt like I was going incredibly fast because I really, really wanted to see if I can catch her. And I ended up passing her with like a couple steps left at the end, which was a pretty awesome feeling.
It was just seconds, your times apart, seconds or something like that. So I was kind of, because I saw you further up University Crescent, so it was maybe with a mile to go or so. So I was just curious how that final little bit played out. But walk us through, I don't know that everybody like understands about these championships. Like, what are the Canadian championships, and why is it so special to take part in something like that?
Yeah, the national championships are a race that I've wanted to run for a really long time. They're, yeah, the kind of country championships, right? Like our nations. So they're pretty exciting. Like, some of the fastest runners in Canada come to race them. So it's pretty cool to line up with some of the best in the country. So just lining up with them kind of gives me like imposter syndrome. But they're all like super, super sweet women. Like, they're all super welcoming. And like when they do like elite dinners and gatherings and stuff like that, they're usually super welcoming. But you still feel like that, a little bit of that imposter syndrome. But yeah, I've always wanted to run the national championship. So I did the half last year and then the half this year. And yeah, you get to line up with the best in the country and just like push yourself to see what you can do. So it was pretty cool. I'm not sure I fully got answered your question.
Yeah, no, that I guess I never really understood about them. Like, are they always in Winnipeg, for example, or do they move around? Like, you know, I just don't think a lot of people know that these championships even exist, because they're often paired with an existing race. Isn't that right?
For sure. Yes. The half, I think it's every 3 years they move to a different location. But I think Manitoba signed a 5-year contract. So I was talking to one of the volunteers, so don't quote me on that. But I was told that they had signed a 5-year contract. So I think it will be a couple more years in Manitoba. But usually the half marathon moves around. Toronto always has the full national championships. It's always been, just like I'm pretty sure Ottawa always has the 10K championships.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I got it. Awesome. Yeah. Well, and then there's like, you know, a little bit of fanfare, some media stuff, some prize money, right? There was a little purse for your win. Fourth placement. Did they give like a top five or?
They actually paid out top four. So yeah, that's one of the things Melinda texted me, and she was like, you got the last money spot. And I was like, that's awesome. Could have been what motivated me for that last all out sprint at the end.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was top five. That's so exciting. And I guess that's my question, because this has never, ever come into my sphere whatsoever in running, is like, does that motivate you? Like when you were coming down the chute into the Bombers Stadium and chasing down Dana, like, are you thinking like, I need to get this money, like I want to get paid? Or is it really just a competitive fire that gets lit in you?
Yeah, I think it's just a competitive, like, I just really want to see, like I said, it's pretty exciting to be racing against these incredible women. So just seeing like how well I can actually do against them was pretty cool. And I always want to finish, like most of my races, I leave everything on the line. Like I'm usually able to muster up some type of sprint finish. Maybe I should try my hand at a shorter distance, like the track and field, maybe 200 meter or something.
Well, I said I wanted to circle around to this because you mentioned that in the comeback from an injury last year, you did the Vancouver Sun Run, right? And that is that held in April?
April, yeah.
April. And so you weren't ready for a half marathon or a marathon at that point. So you went in the 10K and squeaked under 35 minutes for the first time. What value do you think stepping down to a shorter distance has on just your overall running ability, but also maybe when you go back to the marathon, what are you excited to see after having run fast for a little bit?
Yeah, I actually, that was the first time I'd ever focused on the 10K. We did do like a short 8-week build for that 10K. And the training was really fun. It was fast and short. So it was a fun change of pace. And I do think us marathoners do need to change it up every now and then. Even coming back from this injury, I right away was like, okay, so I can't do Chicago. I was supposed to do Chicago this fall. And I was like, okay, so I can't do Chicago. Maybe I'll do Houston, or trying to find the next marathon. And now I'm like, you know what? I actually did well when I like started to build up to the 10K and then the half. And so I think I will probably do that again, focus on some shorter distances, safely build up some mileage again. But yeah, I absolutely think it's nice for marathoners to dip down a little bit in shorter and do some shorter distances. It's definitely beneficial.
Yes. Okay. Well, we've mentioned many times that you are a coach and you coach with Skyline Run Coaching. Tell us a little bit about how Skyline got started, because if I understand correctly, it was just you and Lindsay Romano, who we've had former guest on the podcast. We had her on way back. I'll have to get the episode number, but check the show notes. It was just you two for the longest time. And now you have just blown up and you have what, six coaches at this point?
Yeah, there's seven of us now.
Seven.
Yes. So Lindsay founded Skyline, and we actually met at the Calgary Marathon. I was in the elite marathon field and she was in the elite half marathon field. And I think it was like the second, maybe even the first time we were both elite. And you know, again, that imposter syndrome, you could tell we both could feel like we both felt like maybe we were a little bit nervous to be there. So we kind of gravitated towards each other, sat together at the elite meeting, and then warmed up together the morning before. I remember we kind of left our bags in the same area, and she actually ended up winning the half and I won the full. And so we kind of chatted about that after, connected on social media, and then we lined up again later that year at the Sporting Life 10K. I was like, the downhill race, the Sporting Life 10K. And then I wanted to do a coaching certification. So I was asking her some questions and she was like, this is like meant to be, I'm looking to maybe bring on another coach. And so at the time she was living in Hinton and I was here in Calgary. She's since moved to Airdrie, so we're a lot closer now. But yeah, then I joined her and it's just kind of exploded from there. It's we have tons of runners in Calgary now. We have a really fun little group. Yeah. And it's just like I said, I've always done team sports. So I was just looking for that team aspect and I'm definitely getting it with this. It's I'm loving the team that we've built.
What's your favorite distance to coach?
I think first time marathoners is my favorite distance.
What do you love?
Yeah. What is it about that? Why?
I think there's so much to learn. And I feel like the marathon, if you don't have a good experience in your first marathon, it obviously it just like throws you off. So I just want everyone to have such a good experience with the marathon. I think that's what it is, that I'm just like, I just want to coach everyone in their first marathon because I want it to be a good experience, because I want them to love the distance.
Well, that is definitely a good attribute to have as a coach. You know, you can just hear the passion and the joy come through your voice as you talk about marathon running. And so, yeah, if somebody was looking to do it for the first time, you can't help but catch a little bit of that joy bug listening to you talk about it.
And I feel like everyone's always, the first thing I say is like, we're going to be happy just finishing, no matter what the time is. I want you to be happy just finishing, getting through the training and finishing a marathon, because that is a huge accomplishment. Yeah. I just want everyone to know that that's like a huge accomplishment. But then like on top of that, they usually catch the marathon bug and then it's just like goes up from there.
Yeah, but I don't think that's by accident. Like if you can help them setting realistic expectations, because I don't believe anyone should go in with like hard time goals on their first marathon. Like that's a setup for, yeah. And so part of helping them have a good experience the first time is also going to lend itself to them wanting to do it again and again. And then, yeah, you can be more aggressive and set a time goal and all of this stuff in your next ones, but probably not in your first one. So actually I was on your website, your Skyline website, and I found a quote from you that says, "Helping others set and achieve goals they never thought possible makes me so happy. I can promise you I will be your biggest cheerleader." And I think you're speaking to that really nicely right now. What is it about being a cheerleader? Like, do you think that that comes from your team sport background? Is that just part of your nature? Like, where does this cheerleader thing come from?
Yeah, I do think it comes from my team sport background. We're always cheering each other on. We always, when you're part of a team, you want everyone to do their best, right? It's a team sport. We all need to do well in order to succeed. And actually, being injured, I've been able to support my team a lot more. We just had the Edmonton Marathon last weekend and we had a ton of athletes running and I went up just to support, and I rarely get to just support. So it was really fun to actually be on the sidelines and just supporting them and do the shakeout run. And I came down the morning of to warm up with them, and it was just really fun to get to support them and cheer them on, because so many of them are out cheering me on all the time. And so it's been fun to be able to take on more of a supportive role this summer.
Yeah. Do you find that, like, especially because maybe in the past that would have been a race that you would also want to race, so then you're there as an athlete and you're there as a coach, do you find that this time being there just as a coach allowed you to pour more of yourself in as a cheerleader?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I was obviously disappointed at first. I was like, oh, I wish I was running, but that lasted like 30 seconds. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just so excited to cheer on. Like, I never get to just support. I never get to just like, I want to be the one to hold your gear. Don't worry about gear track. I'll hold your gear. I want to be the one to get the videos for you. And because I'm always, oh no, I got a finish line video for me. So I was like, had a list of everyone's finish times, and I wanted to make sure I got every single one of our athletes a finish line video. I found a really good spot to spectate at the finish line, and they were giving out the cowbells. I'm like, I want to be that annoying person with the cowbell. Give me a cowbell. But yeah, no, I had a great weekend, and I was like on such a high after that weekend, even though I didn't race, just being able to cheer for everyone else.
So you've really embraced the supportive role while you've been coming back from injury. Do you have any other advice for anyone who may be dealing with something that's limiting their ability to train?
Well, I feel like we can safely say that there will be more races, right? There's always going to be another race. I know there was a time there where we were worried we wouldn't really know when our next race would be. And I feel like that's not the case anymore. There will be another race. Knowing that you're not going to lose your fitness. I know we're getting older, but age is just a number. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm not in my prime anymore. I can't afford to get injured. I feel like we're getting faster as we get older. So I feel like just remembering all of that, there's no need to almost like panic or rush back. Like, it will always be there.
Yeah. Back to patience again, right?
Yeah.
Longevity.
Yeah, patience and longevity. That's really, really coming through.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So as you look ahead, you know, you're coming back, you're being methodical, you're being patient, you're putting your own longevity front and center with this one. What are you most excited about when you make that full return? Do you have, you know, races on the horizon in 2024, or what's getting you fired up?
Yeah, I'm excited to, I miss traveling with races. I mean, I got to go to Edmonton and support, but I love traveling with races. So, the Mesa Marathon's coming up in the new year. That's always a fun one. My husband does a lot of work in Houston, so looking forward to potentially heading down there and doing some training with him just as a change of scenery, switch things up a little bit. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting on another start line. And like I mentioned earlier, I think I'm always super motivated when I come back. I just love the feeling of like crushing a hard workout, or like just feeling like you really accomplished something after a hard workout. I know there's been a couple of times I'm like, should I be like doing something on the elliptical? Like I'm just out there giving her, should I be doing a workout? But then I'm like, I'm just not motivated as much on the elliptical. It just doesn't feel as good as like a hard workout on the track or something like that. So I'm just looking forward to like doing a hard run and where I get to that point where I'm like, I'm not sure if I can finish, but then you do.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking earlier when you were talking and you're like, well, I'm on the bike and then I'm in the water doing the water running. I'm like, oh my goodness, she's going to come out like a duathlete or a triathlete or something. Is there any interest in going down any of those routes?
Carolyn, did I mention this to you already? I can't remember if I did. I actually, speaking of like supporting, I had a few athletes that did the Calgary Half Ironman this past year. And so I went and supported them, cheered them on, and I brought my daughters with me. And I texted Melindy actually when I left and I said, I just finished watching the Calgary Half Ironman 2024 goals, Calgary Half Ironman.
#2024
And her response was, let's hope you don't watch a full Ironman.
Right. Like, this could never end, you know.
Exactly. So I would like to do the Calgary Half Ironman this year, or in 2024.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to continue with my biking and my swimming, I guess.
Well, that's exciting. Keeping it fresh, mixing it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Right. All right. Well, this has been super exciting, and it sounds like there's going to be more exciting things to come. If somebody wanted to follow along and potentially even connect with you as a coach, where can people find you?
Instagram, Leanne Clausen, or Skyline Run Coaching.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely link up in the show notes if you want to go check that out.
Leanne, thank you. This has been I knew this would be a good conversation. I know that the subject matter isn't always the most, you know, inspiring talking about injuries, but I think you have a really healthy respect for your body and for the sport and for your longevity. So it was just a pleasure talking to you and some of your infectious energies rubbing off on everybody that's listening, especially people that are struggling right now with an injury. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you, ladies.